Frenzy One is over. We've had time to take stock, reconnect with our loved ones, do some chores. Footy Frenzy Two is just around the corner. Hey, you know, do you remember we used to do the intro to this show and we'd be up and about, we'd do the big thing and then we'd stop, the song would play and we'd come back? I just remember that.
No, we had that
podcast consultant come in.
Was that when Brian Lake was on the show?
Speaking of Brian Lake, I was chatting to him last night on Twitter.
How is he?
He's good. We were chatting about the...
Is he still playing footy or not? No.
No one's playing footy at the moment. No, sure. I think he loves his local footy. We're chatting about Hungry Jack's versus McDonald's burgers last night. So Brian Lake is keeping well. Gentlemen, probably the first thing we need to get to.
What? Are we live?
We're on. Was that his intro? That's all right. That's good.
But the first thing we need to get to, because if you are watching this one, you'll notice that on the desk is a beautiful slab of furphy. Now, Nathan Brown, this is what happens when you get blackmailed correctly. Of course, I blackmailed you a couple of weeks ago. Now, there's some rumours going around that the reason you didn't pay your debts is because you were happy for these photos to go around. He was loving it. He was, wasn't he? He loved it. In fact, he might have helped provide the photos. But I've got some incriminating photos of
Richard. I'm not happy about a couple of my photos. One in particular that I know Nathan's got and I know he's given to you. So I've paid up, Rich.
So we have here on the desk here.
So we can't show the photos because he's paid up. That doesn't seem right.
So that's it now, all over?
Not for the audience.
No, that's not out. It's... next week.
It's a slab a week.
That's not the agreement. Richo, it is a bad photo.
Have we got a photo this week?
No.
What about the one I sent you in the polo, holding the polo stick?
No, because that's it.
This stops all photos. This slab here.
But Rich, I'm just worried when we're going to come out of lockdown. I can't give all my slabs away, mate.
Well, you're going to have to come up with a way because you like...
The people who listen to the podcast want to see the photos.
Well, unfortunately, I want beer more.
Well, it'll depend on whether I'm prepared to give up another slab next week, I guess. Oh,
yeah. So I am taking a beautiful slab of furphy home.
Not at the best time
because I've just signed up to Dale and I have signed up to a healthy eating program. 28 by Sam Wood. Have very kindly, I reckon they've just seen a few of us on Zoom and gone, they're just looking a bit round around the faces. Maybe we'll get some. So I'm not allowed to drink, but during the week I can have
it. Have you started with the 28 by Sam Wood?
To be honest, good, because I like the regiment. I'm at my fittest when I've got something to follow in a program. I haven't been able to go to the gym.
You need the discipline of a program.
Where I'm struggling is the meals. I'm used to eating a salad bowl of, I'll put my food into a salad bowl to eat. The meals are tiny. So I'm really struggling.
Your stomach adjusts to that, though.
Yeah, it does.
I like to eat a lot of food. I'm a big eater as well.
I'm day five in, and I think the craving... I had headaches. Because I was off sugar, off alcohol, everything. I was having shocking headaches. But what about caffeine?
That's where the headache would come from.
Yeah, because I'm only allowed one coffee a day. Right. And I used to have six or seven.
Yeah, yeah. That gives you the headache more than anything.
So I am struggling there. But the slab of furphies is... Now,
enjoy that, Hummer.
You've been at it again. You've decided to take to Twitter and slam an AFL player. You continue to do these things and it continues to backfire on you.
Well, it doesn't continue to backfire. I'm allowed to be... I'm an AFL fan.
So we're talking about you and the Tom Lynch
incident. Tom Lynch, of course.
You're a keyboard warrior. That's what you are. You know those people that sit there and they throw grenades? That's exactly what you are. A keyboard warrior.
I probably can't argue with that.
Did you call Tom Lynch?
I just called him a cat.
Right.
But you swore
as well.
So this, don't you think this has been a complete overreaction the whole
overreaction.
Time? Absolutely.
It's been building up over quite a few weeks. Tom Lynch.
And just first and foremost, I don't condone players swinging fists around and making contact.
There's no need for it.
But he got his wacky. And if the AFL wants to wipe it out, simply start suspending players. But put that aside, the reaction after that has been completely...
He's been public enemy number one.
He's been personally insulted
and attacked. Why are people doing that? David Schwartz had a go at him. Mitch Robinson came out and had a go at him. I don't get the furor over what he did because it happens every week on an AFL field.
Every single week. You'd think that he's the only player that has done it. They personally attacked him. Mark Robinson called him a douchebag. It just went over the top, I thought, because that then incites people on Twitter, the trolls that we've talked about.
That's a bit hypocritical for Robbo.
And it becomes a pile-on. It is, I agree. It becomes a pile-on. The thing that I couldn't believe about that incident, that it actually started with Collins, who did a similar thing, and yet nobody's really picked that up. Seriously, the whole incident, the whole battle between them two was an overreaction.
How many times back in the day are you playing on Glenn Archer? Did Glenn Archer just give you a clip?
Well, those similar little sort of whacks in the ribs, and it would happen, honestly, when the play's down the other end. They were constantly doing it. And
was nobody... Glenn someone you didn't come back at?
Oh, no, never. I said, keep going, Glenn.
Well, I think what they need, there needs to be, like, it's the fact that you can't retaliate. That's the issue I don't like. I think you should but be out. Know if someone's niggling you, you are allowed to retaliate.
You're allowed to knock them out, are you, tough man?
You're allowed to. Because otherwise, you just keep clipping
them. But you know how you stop it? You come out, you give a free kick away, or you suspend the players. But the AFL hasn't been hard enough on it, so players keep doing it.
And they can't start suspending a player now, can they?
They can't. Just got to turn the other cheek, huh?
Another full forward who had just... we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago with Josh Kennedy. Tom Hawkins. There is no... This is the key to a good game of footy, and it's when you have a full forward in full flight, left alone, one out, let them just ply their craft. Because it's the part of the game that we've lost, I reckon. Mm. We don't see it much anymore. But when it happens, it is just one of the most magnificent things you'll see on a footy
field. It's the best game of the year so far. 2020, I think Charlie Dixon's was the best before that when he kicked six.
Yeah.
But the amount of one-on-one time he got, and it's a big tick to Geelong in the way they played, more of a kick in the guts to Port Adelaide to allow Tom Hawkins to have so much one-on-one time. But in terms of entertainment, just eyes glued on the TV to Tom Hawkins. He had so much baby oil on, it wasn't funny. He's just keeping baby oil on the shelves at the moment. But it was the best performance of 2020.
No, I agree. And you looked at Twitter while you were watching the game and it just lit up.
Yeah.
Everyone was excited about it. And I've got a theory with Tom at the moment that he is as motivated as he's ever been in his career, because he was suspended in that in the game, the semi-final, the qualifying final last year, and missed out on playing in the prelim, which Richmond then won. I reckon that's burning in his guts, because he's playing the best he's ever played
in his career.
Yeah, he's so fit.
When you're walking off after a game like that, I mean, it happens at local footy level as well. When you've just had an absolute day out. I've had a couple of days where I've kicked nine and just walked off with my head held high. You boys have both had... I mean, there's a game that everyone knows that you absolutely lit up and you love reminding people about. Richard, what's your best game?
Well, it's hard to narrow down into one, Rich, but...
I found one.
Well, which one are you talking about?
2006, round 21, you were playing Essendon, a poor man called Kepler Bradley.
Yeah.
You've kicked nine goals... 19 marks, 12 of them inside 50. That's
a big game.
Absolute day. Hey, and
that is
Brownie,
a big day.
One tackle.
Is that in the dream time?
I don't think it was dream time. I think it was the second time. You know what, though? It does show you. We got one-on-one back then. I mean, you know how Tom Hawkins was one-on-one the other night and he took, seven or eight contested marks?
Yep.
He probably had 10 one-on-ones. I reckon I had 25 one-on-ones that night. So you're going to win
Were you lipping off to him when you were just marking everything?
No, I was a little bit. I remember at quarter time, I went into the huddle.
He was a big lipper. He and not just figuratively, because he does have big lips, but he could give it to his opponent like nobody. Like, everyone thinks he's this humble, richo, affable fella that, you know, everybody's his favourite, but could give a spray with the best of them.
When you're on top, you've got to let your opponent know about it. But I remember going into the huddle at quarter time, and I had four goals at quarter time.
Oh.
And I remember thinking to myself, I wasn't even listening to the coach, I was just looking at myself on the scoreboard. And I thought, well, that's been a good first quarter, but it's time for a change now. Sheeds is going to swap someone over here. I went out at the start of the second. I still had the same opponent, Kepler Bradley. Six at half time, I thought, definitely over now. The party's over now. Came out, start of the third quarter, still.
Who else did they have an offer?
Well, Dustin Fletcher was playing and Sean Wellman. I thought, surely...
No, Sean Wellman.
Sheeds just wanted to let me have a good night, I think. I should send him a birthday present. Anyway, you have those nights.
What's your best game, Brownie, outside of course, the famous five goals in the last quarter on James Clement?
There was a game I played in the midfield against Richmond, I reckon, in about 2000. It was a great game of footy.
At Etihad Stadium?
Yeah. I think I had about 28 and kicked four goals, four out of the middle, playing on ball all night. So that was probably one of the better ones. Not a massive stat game, 27, I think, but the four goals, four, and the type of game it was a Friday night.
No midfielders have 30 and kick four now, do they?
Nah.
Really?
Never, never. Hey, we spoke of the dream time, of course, the game between Essendon and Richmond. And how good is this year? We keep saying that 2020 has just been absolute rubbish, but it has served us up a couple. We've been afforded a couple of luxuries we would normally never get. Dreamtime at the G in Darwin. Yeah. That is special.
And I'm looking forward to it, because if you look at the history of the game, Richmond and Essendon have promoted Indigenous players. Mm. The Longs and the Riolis, they're the two big families up in the Northern Territory. And, of course, Kevin Sheedy brought so many Indigenous players to Essendon. Maurice Rioli was the first Indigenous player to come across from WA in the Northern Territory and play for Richmond. So I reckon it's great that Dreamtime's up in Darwin.
Isn't it funny how decisions get made when you have to make decisions? Like, yeah. It's for so long it's been the AFL, we want to change this. It takes 3 to 4 years for anybody to approve it. All of a sudden we're two years down the track and everybody's forgotten about the reason. It comes back, oh, we might look at it. But all of a sudden we're playing games in Darwin. We're having to make changes. All of a sudden changing a game to 16 minutes plus time on has happened in an instant, and the fact that there's probably going to be a night grand final this year hasn't been ticked off yet, but that'll happen, and all of a sudden we can make these decisions where we're told for so long that these things have to go through the commission, they need to be ticked off, and you can make decisions, and the AFL should be, and it's a big word at the moment, pivot. They should be able to pivot more often, Matthew.
Do you think? I think the one thing they can't do, and I like some of these changes, I like them making decisions on the run, but I don't think you can have the rolling fixture moving forward, because once we're all able to travel again, you plan your holidays around your footy team. So that's one thing that might have to stay the same.
Do we think, now, next year, vaccine, of course, hopefully will be on our doorsteps, footy goes back to normal, will Dreamtime go back to the G, or is this something we could see staying up there?
I think it'll go.
It's probably
back.
Worth too much.
I think
cash
it'll go back to the G because of the 85,000-90,000 people. But I think it's great this year that they can celebrate.
Did
it? In the
you
top
boys, end. Of course, would have played in them. Did it feel different than another? Obviously a bigger crowd and stuff. But did it just have a different feel to it? The crowd, a different cheer. Did you go out and watch all the stuff beforehand?
When we were playing still, it had only just started. I think Dreamtime started in 05 or 06. I'm pretty sure it might have even been 06. And it's become the big event it is since then. It was only in its early days when we were playing. But
06 was the first one.
Yeah, it's the second biggest home and away game now as far as an event behind Anzac Day. Anzac Day will always be number one.
Speaking of moving locations, the AFL Grand Final, it's been between two. Of course, it's not going to be in Victoria. And this is another thing they said.
Well, there's four submissions though, Rich, isn't there? There's four.
There is, but there's two likely candidates. And I would dare say probably only one likely candidate now. And I think it's the right decision, the Gabba.
What do you reckon, no?
Have Tassie put in one, Matthew? I thought you could have been the face behind the push of the Tassie Grand Final.
Tassie have not covered themselves in glory this COVID.
Tassie is not one of the we're not allowing games in Tasmania because we want to be COVID-free down there.
Are you proud of Tasmania for taking that stance, or do you think that maybe they should have looked at maybe opening up their borders, considering they want an AFL team down there? Does it fly in the face of what they want and what they're going to get?
Well, I would think that the health...
You're a bit disappointed.
I think that the health... Let's be honest. No, I'm not. The health of the community is a lot bigger than a game.
But Tassie has gone...
Why can Perth, Adelaide and also Queensland at the moment open up their borders? But Tassie can't, when Tassie want a team. It's a very good question, Brownie.
Tassie's an island, that's why.
But you know what Tasmania's done? They've just gone. They've been very happy. Australia probably doesn't treat Tasmania the way we should in the past. But they've been very happy to be them by themselves here. They're very happy. We're COVID-free. Close our borders. We're not opening up till December. The rest of you go get stuffed.
We've always been disrespected in Tassie. First and foremost, we should have an AFL team. Secondly, I will never forget the Brisbane Commonwealth Games. Right, the Brisbane Commonwealth Games in 1982, where they had the map of Australia out in the middle. You know when people hold up the cards and it's the map of Australia?
No Tassie.
There was no Tassie at the bloody Commonwealth Games. So stuff yous, you're not coming down there.
I've always been an advocate of Tassie, but I reckon after this cut
you're an advocate of Tassie.
I am.
Though.
I love going down there for cricket trip. Hobart's the best cricket trip location you can go to.
Great
that
spot.
Trip we went to. That was great.
Before we move on,
you went well on that trip.
I've had to
57 in that game.
I've had to crowbar something in.
What is it?
Because, I am just a humble boy from the burbs.
Well, you're not humble.
You're not humble. You went to a private school.
You're from the burbs.
I'm a boy from the burbs, humble. But with no profile, nothing whatsoever. And I've been a big Herald Sun reader my whole life. I don't like the age.
Before you go on, are you desperate to have a profile though?
He's a fame hunter.
No. Right.
No, he's a fame hunter.
No.
I think you are.
Yeah. I enjoy.
He's one of these Big Brother. Right. Yeah, I reckon he's
absolutely
in that mold.
Not. I've not applied for a single Big Brother series since they stopped doing him a few years ago.
So you did though.
Back in the day.
There you go. This
You want to be famous, mate, okay?
No, I don't want to be famous. I like doing my job and I've enjoyed that I've got to meet great people like you guys. But there's a segment in the Herald Sun that Scotty Gullen does. Scotty Gullen is a great friend of the show.
The Whisper.
A great friend of Sportsbet called The Whisper.
There
now,
it is.
The whisper he puts in, he gets little rumours and innuendo that he's heard from the industry. Mm. And, puts
and only
it in
the
there.
Big names get in this.
Did
don't
a
they?
Member of the PR team for a major betting company have an enforced spell on the sidelines after a Twitter rant against a high-profile AFL commentator? So you could insert Richard Hummerston where the PR is, and you could insert Gary Lyon down the bottom, and Scotty Gullen doesn't get it wrong.
Are we allowed to say Gary's name now?
We've been saying when I returned to SEN last week
Have you spoken to Gary?
They brought it up straight away. No, I haven't done any slots with Gary.
Oh, they haven't put you on the morning. They haven't put him on the morning.
I'll tell you what, I could just see it now if they were walking down the corridor. Gary would not even look at Hummer.
You never know who he is for a start. So did they put you on the Andy and Bob show? Did they? Yep. Did they bring it up?
Yep.
What did they say?
I just said, welcome back, where have you been? And we've heard not to tweet. I just said that I had been I'd had some time away. I'd been on Exile Island and I was back. Why?
You're a bit of a liability, I reckon, for sports bet, aren't you, at the moment?
Oh, dear.
Bit of a liability because I've been sent something and it goes against what we try and build here. We're honest. We're a good bunch of blokes, and sports bet are a brand that try to stick to what they say, and that's what we do. Now, I've got a text here from a kid called Bailey Holmes. Well, he's not a kid, he's a man. Bailey Holmes. He's gone, hey, mate, want to help me expose Hummer with a question mark? I was engrossed already. I said, you got me at hello. I love the Sports Bet AFL podcast and would love some merch. So I left a 5-star review and sent the screenshot to Hummer. Before I go on with the next, you have been known to, at the end of our podcast,
he's promoted the fact, yeah.
Promote us, give me a 5-star review to Hummer, and I'll
not
send
to Hummer,
you
to the show.
Some merch. That's what you said. Did he say that? He sent some merch.
You said that, Hummer.
Okay. He is a fraud, which we already know. Fraud, capital F, capital R, capital A, capital U, capital... Fraud's in capitals, Hum. He has viewed my message, because it comes up when your message is viewed, and I'm yet to see any merch. Hummer, he's lying to his fans, and he is a pig. It is not on.
He called you
Jesus.
A pig.
And I said, sounds like a great plan, mate. Let's expose him this week. So to Bailey Holmes out there and anybody else who you've fraudulently...
No, I have said some. You're gonna send them some merch. COVID has meant that we can't get stuff from our warehouse to the office. Now, we've got some crappy merch around the office, but our fans deserve the best.
Right.
So I'm just
waiting. So are you promising
Bailey
some merch?
My wife runs a candle company, and she can still send candles here, there, around Australia. So that doesn't stand up.
It does,
mate. No, it doesn't.
Well, how am I meant to get stuff in the warehouse in COVID?
Well, did you just get a new sports bed beanie? Yep. Or maybe you should send Bailey your new sports bet.
What else he got? Ooh. Sports bet.
Maybe Bailey needs a new agate.
No, okay, I will say.
I think you need to guarantee Bailey that Sharon is going to land at his house.
Well, I can't. That's not my Sharon. I will get Bailey some merch. I will get Bailey some merch. I apologise. I've sent some merchandise out. Some are still waiting. COVID. No, yeah. COVID.
Look at me in the eye and tell me that you've sent some merch out to people who said something about the sports bet podcast.
I have sent some merch out,
Brandy.
All right. Some. All right, we're going to be back with what's doing Richo's head in.
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
Boys, COVID is obviously doing all of our heads in, isn't it? It's been hard.
Can't say merch.
Hey?
Can't say merchandise.
COVID's doing a head in, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
Thanks, Sandra Sully.
Yeah, I know. It is late, Ma. But and it's harder the second time round, isn't it? Because we've all got to wear masks now.
It's always harder the second time
It is. Now, the amount of people... not wearing masks is astounding me. Now, we're allowed to at the moment, but as soon as we leave this studio, we've got permits, you know, to work in TV. So I'm not being a hypocrite. But the amount of people wandering around the street without masks on, just put them on. You're just being selfish. And some of the excuses, now they are funny, but some of the excuses have been wheeled out. And one of the ones that's been wheeled out quite a lot is, why aren't you wearing a mask? I'm just having a dart. Seriously. Have your dart at home. Have your dart in your car.
How are we meant
but
to dart
with
a mask?
But you can't have a dart through a mask, mate. What if people are out on their smoke break, legitimately at work, they've got a worker's pass, you can't smoke it through
your mask. Well, you're going to have to sacrifice having a cigarette to leave your mask on. Sorry. This one here really
got
me.
So what about if someone wants to eat? What if someone wants to eat or have a coffee? So they're not allowed to do that?
Buy your food and jump in your car.
They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to stand out in the street and have a food while they're having their work break.
No, you've got to have your mask on. You've got to have your mask on.
But what if you're eating?
Bad luck. You have to wait.
This isn't a communist country, mate.
Get back to your car.
People can go out and eat.
But what if you don't have a car?
Listen. You put your mask on, right? This one here got me. A lady was asked why she didn't have a mask on. She
Vladimir
said...
Vladimir Putin had walked in.
A little bit of Mussolini about me. A bird swooped at my associate's hamburger and I got distracted. So that's why I didn't have my mask on. She got distracted, right? A bird swooped at her associate's hamburger. That's a lie. One gentleman was spotted at 2 a.m. just wandering around and he was asked why he was out. He said he was going to 7-Eleven to get a soft drink. If you're thirsty, mate, just get it. There's plenty of water in the tap. You don't have to walk to 7-Eleven. I reckon that's a lie as well. He was going somewhere else, that bloke. This one really is good. This guy was halfway across Melbourne from where he lived in 10 suburbs across. No. Now, why are you out, mate? Why are you in your car? Got pulled over. He was going to get a tank to put his frog in. I reckon his frog can wait till we get out of lockdown. Put your frog in the bath or something. I don't know. There's a bloke down in Geelong. Asked for ID. He lives in Melbourne. What are you doing here? Fishing. He's driven all the way to Geelong to fish.
You can't be doing that. You're not even allowed to fish either.
That's further than 5 kilometres, mate. Seriously. Oh, this one was good. A gentleman drove 2 hours north of Melbourne.
Oh.
When he was asked what he was doing up on the Hume Highway, 2 hours out of Melbourne when he lived in Brunswick. He's going up to help a mate move some goats to another paddock. Oh, this one's good. A man and a woman who don't live together, right? Pulled over after curfew.
Oh, no.
What are you doing? Oh, we've got to go to the ATM. That's
that's what do they get?
What would you need cash for?
I don't know, Matthew.
And this is the last one here. This bloke, you've got to admire this bloke's attitude a little bit, I guess. He's at Upfield Station after 8 p.m. And they asked him where he was going. He's at the station. He's going somewhere. He said, I don't know where I'm going. He's just sitting at the station.
He's going to get on the train, is he?
He's going, doesn't know where, though. And they said, why don't you have a mask on as well? He said, I don't care. That was his response. Put a mask on.
Put a mask on. We're getting close. We're getting nearer to lockdown, seeing our friends, family, and going to the pub. Hey,
Well, we won't if people don't put masks on.
That's true. Now, we're going to change tack a little bit here because there's one thing that our fans have been calling out for. They want a bit more lifestyle content, Brandy. They want to know sort of, you know, not just footy, not just what's getting angry, not just incriminating photos. And you came across a story during the week which pricked your ears up.
No, oh, it pricked my ears up because I thought it would have been right up your alley.
Yep. Well, he loves this, huh?
Obviously, there's no flights. Well, you can travel, but there's obviously not a lot of travel on at the moment. You've got to quarantine when you get there. So people are missing airplane travel. Yep. There's a company in Japan right now.
This is innovative.
Who is setting up shipping crates, right?
Like a cabin of a plane.
Shipping container, yeah. And they set it up inside, so they've decked it out as a cabin of an airplane. So they've got first class, they've got business class, they've got economy. So you can go there, right? And you can sit on a plane from Japan to Melbourne, whether it's 14, 16 hours. Right. You can do the whole trip.
Is it like a mystery flight?
You can have the meal, right? You can have everything. You've got the in-flight entertainment.
Oh.
Yeah, the only thing you don't have is the stupid standing around baggage handlers and But you go in there and you have the whole experience for 14 to 16 hours wherever you're. Yeah. You can sit there and watch movies for 5 or 6 hours.
You get served champagne.
And turn your phone off, no reception.
I thought that might be right.
I would do that in
Who would do that experience though? I'm sitting economy. Yeah,
correct.
Why would you do that?
But it costs you, Matthew. It's the same.
I don't reckon.
So you pay for economy, you pay a little bit more for business, and you pay the top end for high.
I'd say this. I reckon if you've paid whatever it costs to sit in economy and you sit there for 14 hours and you get out at the exact same location that you left, you might be going, I probably shouldn't have done that. But business class, you know, we're lucky if we get to fly with work, we get put business class.
Not anymore.
We're
going
we're not flying anywhere for a long time. But and I just love it. You know, you get yourself a whiskey. You get some nuts, sit down, your phone's off, you can't be contacted, 14 hours, it's heaven.
It's the one time when you can sit back and relax, have your phone off, and it's pretty good fun, isn't that, in business?
It just reminds me, we're on a plane once, right? We're leaving New York and we're going, I think...
We're coming back
to LA or LA to New York, I don't know which way, we're in business. And we had some bloke next to us and we'd gone to sleep. All of a sudden, everybody's just gone to sleep. It was a bit of a rocky takeoff, to be honest. And Richo, everybody's quiet. He'd fallen asleep and all of a sudden he wakes up. We're going down!
No, seriously. So what happened?
The whole plane was on edge up. I'm like, we're going to get kicked off.
We'd had a big night. It was our last night in Los Angeles, Nate. We hadn't had much sleep. I got on the plane and everyone on the plane, it was one of those late arvo, early evening. People were going to sleep. I put a movie on and I noticed everyone going to sleep around me. Nathan was asleep. And whatever movie I was watching, I'd fallen asleep but still had the headphones on. And this part in the movie, a siren came on in the movie. And I've heard the siren. I've woken up and my first instinct was, we're going down. I looked around and everyone's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God. You're lucky you went with Australia. Hey, but that brings up a good point that you make, because for some people, sitting in a container ship for 14 hours not going anywhere would just be the worst holiday of all time. So we thought, yeah, we've been on footy trips, cricket trips, family trips. What are some of the worst holidays that you've been on?
Well, I've spoken about my Albury footy trip, so I won't go down that path again, but that was the worst footy trip I've been on. When I was little, so I was about 8, going camping with my old man and one of his mates and one of his sons. Mum has packed, we're going up to Turumbury, up to the Murray River. Mum has packed a chicken, hot roast chicken, cooked the chicken, wrapped it up in aluminium foil. We get there, and by the time we got there, it was dark. So we're eating this chicken in the dark, right? And opened it up, eating away, and all of a sudden I could feel stuff. On my hand. Maggots all over the chicken. Because it was so dark and we hadn't set up any lights, I'm just chowing into maggots on this chicken, right? And old man had the same thing. Nothing happened to the old man. Obviously, being an adult, he could handle it. But I was 8. I vomited for 2 days in a row up on the Murray. That was the worst.
That's not a good holiday.
Never been camping ever again.
One that springs to mind, a footy trip. So, you know, I'm a young kid growing up and, you know, love footy and being around footy clubs. And in 1992, when I was 17, I had a year playing senior footy in Tassie. So I was the youngest person in the team and, you know, I was looking forward to the end of the year to go on my first footy trip, you know, all year.
Rite of passage.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, we might even fly over to Melbourne and watch an AFL game. You know, that would have been huge for me at the age of 17. And second best option would have been to get on a bus and go down to Hobart for the weekend, because Hobart was like the big smoke where I lived in Tassie.
Yep.
No, we get to the end of the year and they say rock up to the footy club, and it was meant to be a bit of a mystery type of thing where we were going. They'd been raising money all year for the trip, you know, in the social club. We get on a bus and I think, oh, well, we're going out to the airport, and we're on the way. And I thought, we turned off towards the airport in Devonport on the Bass Highway. And I thought, this is great. We are going to Melbourne. But then just before the airport, there's another turn that goes to a place called Port Sorell, which is exactly 15 minutes out of Devonport. 15 minutes out of Devonport. So we drove past the airport. I'm waving goodbye to the airport. We get to Port Sorell and we spent the afternoon in the Shearwater Country Club. That was it. That was the footy trip.
That was the whole footy trip.
And I'd build it up in my mind, my first trip.
So you didn't stay the night or anything?
Didn't stay the night. Just stayed there the afternoon, all got kicked out at about 10 o'clock, and then no taxis down there. No way of getting home. Had to ring mum, and she come and got me. I got in trouble because I'd been drinking. Wasn't a great day.
How's this for a short footy trip? I won't name who. As you know, I used to play down at the Alberton Footy League for Inverloch, big country footballer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And,
is that common knowledge?
We didn't know that.
Anyway, there's a team called Fish Creek, and they had an ex-AFL player playing for them. This was a few years ago.
Ex-AFL player, who?
He came down. I'm not going to say. Because I'm not entirely sure how true this story is.
What club?
Fish Creek. So
no, what AFL
basically,
club?
Wayne Wiedemann's from Fish
Creek. Oh, I don't know.
What AFL just, club?
I don't know.
Was the player from, though?
I'm not saying.
Okay.
Because it's going to be pretty easy to deduce. Anyway, he moved down to this. Fish Creek's a lovely little Gippsland town, just very quiet. He moved there. The town just got around this player, loved him. He had some work in cutting wood somewhere and played footy. He was the star, dominated all year. The town just absolutely loved him. And he put his hand up to organise the footy trip. Got all the boys. And they said, you know, a lot of these boys have never been on a plane before. We're flying up to the Gold Coast. This would be magnificent. Give us your, you know, $500 at the start of the year, another $500. Ended up being about $1,100 per player. Had 35 players.
So there's 40 grand in the kitty.
Yep, 40 grand in the kitty. He says to him, all right, the bus is going to take us down to 2 hour drive to the airport. Yeah. Meet us at the footy club car park at 5 a.m. We'll get on the bus. We'll drive through. Everyone gets there. The boys are so excited. They get there at 4:30, 4:45, freezing cold. The Dales have dropped them off. A few of them crack beers. They're all excited. And it gets to, you know, 5 o'clock and the player hasn't showed up. They're like, I just must be running late with the bus. 5:05, 5:10, 5:15.
Oh, no.
This AFL player still hasn't rocked up. There is no sign of the bus. They go, what's, give him 15 more minutes. The flight's not till 9 o'clock. 5:30 comes around. They go, oh, maybe has he slept in? Is he driving the bus? Who knows? They get in the car, drive around to his house. He is gone.
Oh, no.
Disappeared.
Empty.
He's taken the 40K, left Fish Creek, never to be seen again. And these boys, and what
that
they did
might
is...
It be hard to work out then.
They then ran their own footy trip just in the pub. They all set up... Because they had the time off from the Dales
so
and the family.
Does he still live in Victoria?
I think he's might have gone to Northern Territory, you know, or somewhere. I'm not sure, but he's definitely gone.
That's happened a bit over the years. If you're going to have someone at your club organising a trip, they've got to be trustworthy.
Jeez, you'd be heartbroken. Oh, you're geared up for three straight days, and then you're stuck at home. Another thing that you brought up this week, Brownie, sticking with the lifestyle chat, is that your wife, and I can't believe this is the only trait that she's annoyed by, because you have a lot of annoying traits.
I know what he's about to say, and this is spot on, because I've seen you do this.
So I'm talking to my wife the other day, right? And she is a serious chat. It was that serious that at the top of my head, I can't remember what we're talking about at the moment.
But it's probably the kids.
She's sitting on the back of the couch and I'm standing up. And she stopped and she looked at me and she goes, "Why are you doing that?" And I went, "What do you mean? What am I doing? I had no idea what I was doing." She said, "Why, when I'm speaking to you, do you play imaginary cricket shots?"
What forward defence?
She's talking to me and I've been sitting there going like this.
What shots were you playing?
I was just playing a forward drive.
Just cover drive.
I had no idea I was doing it. And she said, "It shits me no end." She goes, "I want you to stop doing it." Didn't even realise I was doing it.
I've got a trait, and one thing I'm known for amongst my friends now is when I was back in the day when I was living with flatmates in a townhouse in Carlton, three other guys, they worked out pretty quickly that I can't handle. If I'm sitting there watching TV and, you know, there's a bit of rubbish on the ground, a bit of paper, someone's left their T-shirt lying on the ground, there's a set of shoes on the couch, I need everything in order when I sit.
Oh, a bit of OCD.
Yeah, so they worked out pretty quickly that, okay, Richo's coming downstairs, we're watching TV. They'd deliberately throw a bit of rubbish on the couch and they'd have a bet amongst themselves. How long will it take for him to get up and go and pick it up?
You've got OCD.
I can't have things lying around on the ground, no.
Jeez, we've got a real mixed bag of sort of undiagnosed disorders in this group. Trumpet Award next. Now, I've had to make some adjustments to the leaderboard because it turns out I was wrong.
Well, at least you've done it, huh?
I hadn't been recording as diligently, and Lachie Neal, who was on 3, is actually on 15 votes.
Yeah, I knew he was.
So he heads the market.
Started to look like the Brownlow medal board, didn't it?
15, yep. Toby Green, 9, Matt Rowe, 8, Kane Lambert, 6, Charlie Dixon, 6.
I reckon there's going to be a big mover today.
And then the worst leaderboard, well, they're staying pretty stagnant. Adelaide Crows on 6, Sidebottom on 6, Umpires 5, Hummer 3. Now, the reason the umpires are on 5 is because we keep splitting between the AFL, the umpires. Different. Dan Andrews is still there. Dan Andrews should be on a bit higher. And Hummer's up there as well. Gentlemen.
What are we doing, worst or best?
Start best and then we do worst. We've been getting wrong.
Okay, best. I gave one vote to a man who was having his second game back from a big ankle injury, syndesmosis, kicked 6 goals straight. Aaron Norton, the astronaut, marking everything, kicking straight. All right, he's going to be a gun. I don't think he's even 20 yet. So he got my one vote. I gave 2 to his teammate, the skipper, Marcus Bontempelli. He had 33 touches, 2 goals, but he had 12 clearances as well. I know he was playing against Witches Hats, but you still got to do it. And 3, we've talked about him today. The best game by anyone this year, I reckon. Key forward, Tommy Hawkins, absolutely on fire.
I like it, Matthew, I like it. I gave one vote to Jack Nunes. I thought when you have a moment like that to kick a massive goal after the siren, 45 out on the boundary. I reckon it's easier to kick those than 20 metres out directly in front.
Is it?
I think it is.
On that angle?
I don't think anybody...
Why are you giving him a vote then?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody expects you to kick the one from out there. I think if he had missed it, most people would have said, have a good... But if you miss it from 20 out directly in front, you're expected to kick that. Great job by Jack
Nunes.
You
reckon the pressure off there makes it easier?
Pressure off makes it easier. 2 votes to Norton, the same, and 3 votes to Hawkins.
Ooh,
so Hawk's going to move up to 10 there now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
All right, and the worst ones. I'm just jotting this down.
This is pretty harsh, probably, but I gave one to Ken Hinckley for one particular thing. The fact that Hawk, he was on early, wasn't he? You knew, and Cleary was clearly too slow.
Didn't react, Matt.
He had to put Jonas onto him, and he did, but he did it too late and the game was over. So one to Kenny, who's had a great year, could be coach of the year, but I just thought he should have moved Jonas earlier. 2 to the Collingwood Footy Club. They're under siege and they're expected to be top 4, play finals. They might miss the finals now, and to get beaten by 10 goals, I just didn't think that was a very good performance. And 3 to the Giants, lost to Sydney. The Giants are meant to be a finals team as well. The Swans are in rebuild mode and the Swans towed them. They didn't just beat them, they towed them.
My votes are very similar but for different sort of reasons, man. I gave one to actually Port Adelaide. I thought the way they played that game, and it starts with Ken Hinckley and it finishes with Charlie Dixon and the players, they were terrible in the biggest game of the year. I gave two votes to a player from the Giants in Harry Himmelberg. The amount of marks he should have taken, not just ones in the pack that he got his hands to, these were out on his own, dropped the mark, in front of goal, should have been able to put scoreboard pressure on. And I was working with the great Wayne Carey in this game, and he said Harry Himmelberg wouldn't have caught COVID today. That's how bad he was going. And three votes I gave to the Collingwood Football Club, who were very, very ordinary.
Will they win this week against North?
I like North this week.
All right, so Tommy Hawkins goes to 10. Collingwood Football Club go to, I think, about 8. And I'll make sure I update that during the week. Hey, let's have a look at the games, because this is the last round of footy before Footy Frenzy 2.0 kicks in. Footy kicks off tomorrow night. Western Bulldogs versus Melbourne on Saturday. That is going to be a cracker.
Yeah.
The Ds, they win this, that's 8 locked in.
Yeah, I think they probably will play finals. So I feel like it's a toss of the coin game. The Dogs have been up and down. We know that. And they were up last week, but they're only playing the Adelaide Crows. So I'd love to see them turn up against Melbourne. I think if they bring their best game, the Dogs, this midfield battle is just, on paper, it's a ripper, isn't it?
It's a tough one to tip at this stage because we don't know. There's obviously Braden Pruce, Tim English, yeah. There's some doubt. So I want to see the teams because I think it'll change the odds. Look, as it stands,
who
I think...
Who are you leaning towards?
I'm leaning towards the Demons just because I love the way they've been playing football. Multiple goal scorers, I think, ever since that Glenn Bartlett spray. And I don't think the Glenn Bartlett spray is the reason why they're playing good football. I think the coaching staff and the changes they've made to that playing group since then has been the change. But I'm leaning towards Melbourne at this stage. But wouldn't be putting money on it until I know the sides.
Max Gorn could be done for the year.
Yeah, that's sad if it is. Did you like my love child's game last week, Bailey Smith?
I did.
37 or 39. Yeah.
At this stage, Melbourne $1.71, the Bulldogs $2.15. The next game we're going to have a look at is Brisbane up against the Saints. Now, Brisbane, $1.40. A bit of value here for the Saints at $2.88.
This is the game, isn't it, for St Kilda. They can announce themselves as a genuine chance to win the flag this year if they can beat Brisbane at the Gabba. So they've failed a few tests this year, the Saints. And unfortunately, I just think they'll fall short. I don't think they'll get towed up. I think it'll be a close game. But you cannot tip against Brisbane at the Gabba. The only two games they've lost there were the finals last year. So I think Brisbane will win, but I think the Saints will be a lot closer than maybe some think.
If it was at a neutral venue, I'd almost tip St Kilda. The line at the moment does interest me, 15.5, but just because it is at the Gabba, I can't bet in this game. And I think Brisbane are too short at $1.40. So for me, I don't have a bet in this game, leaning towards Brisbane head-to-head, but it's a tough one.
Charlie Cameron's due. He's copped a bit during the week. I reckon he might have a good game.
Was it warranted what he copped during the week?
Not really, no. I didn't think so.
Talking about someone that's copped during the week, the Giants, they were an absolute disgrace. Some of the worst footy I've ever seen. I don't think they cannot... They cannot make any noise at the finals until Leon Cameron is no longer at that club. GWS, $3.50. West Coast, $1.29.
You'd expect a response from the Giants, but unfortunately, they're playing the worst
team.
What
happened last week? Because they weren't hitting tackles. They had no game plan to speak of.
You have poor games, but they've had a few like that this year. So that's why questions are being asked. But if you want to bounce back, you couldn't run into a worse team, could you?
No, not there either. West Coast... 18.5 the line is. I think they should be able to beat the Giants by more than that. The total point seems pretty low to me, 118.5 at the moment. Scoring has been bigger in the last few weeks, so I reckon I might be having a multi West Coast line into the total points over.
I don't think I've ever seen a team mark the footy better than the Eagles when they're on. All over the ground. Their midfielders can mark it. Their forwards are incredible, and we know what McGovern and Barras can do down back.
All right, now, our multi didn't get up last week. Your legs got up, mine didn't.
I think my legs got up every week.
I tipped Brisbane to win by 40 plus, which is a bit silly. My problem is I'm too ambitious.
He likes to congratulate himself a lot, Nathan, doesn't he?
Well, mate, there's a lot of people in this world who are happy to give you a clip and kick you in the guts. And like, you need to sometimes just give yourself a bit of a pat on the bum.
I've known you a long time and you do like to congratulate yourself an awful lot.
So we're still sitting on 250 odd. Where are we going this week? I'm actually going to take West Coast at the line. For my bet?
I would go, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would say Tom Lynch will kick at least 3 goals.
Ooh.
He'll answer his critics, which one of them
All right,
you.
Let me
get that up. While you're getting that up, my bet will be Geelong 40 plus against Adelaide. I'd almost like to go a bit further, like 60 plus, but Geelong, 40 plus, you're getting $1.91 for that.
All right, so let me get that. So that was Geelong.
40 plus, $1.91.
40 plus. We put that into our multi-builder. We are getting odds of 10.45, so 50 on that. We win that. That goes to $540, which will add the 200, which will go to a struggling footy club in a soon-to-be-announced.
When are you going to launch that?
I've actually got something brewing in the works with TaylorMade. Oh, yeah. Now, how's this about TaylorMade just before we get on to the last segment? TaylorMade are going so well since our sponsorship. They are out of clubs.
Oh, really?
They are literally out of clubs in
so
this country.
They give our clubs away?
And we might have a little bit more longer of a wait, but we do have a putter coming, which for a competition that's going to be announced next week, thanks to our great friends at TaylorMade.
I might take their trophies away if you don't get my TaylorMade.
What show on TV do you think you could get on? If you've applied for a couple, which one do you think you'd get on?
You know what I'd love to see him on? Survivor? The Bachelorette.
No.
I'd love to see you get a rose.
I reckon I would.
He has a girlfriend, Matt. There's a bit of an issue.
This is a hypothetical.
I don't think she'd be with it somehow.
How about this?
Oh, darling, I'm going to go on Bachelorette. But just you're going out with me.
It's a hypothetical.
I don't have the profile. No, I'd go very well on Survivor, I reckon.
Oh, would you?
Because I'm the perfect mix of, I've got a bit of nous, right?
I could build
you know, alliances. I'd be good enough at the competitions that would keep me on for the alliance, but I'm not good enough that I'd ever be a threat.
I reckon you'd blow a gasket after a couple of days.
All right, hypotheticals next. Now, we're going a different tack with the hypotheticals. Our producer, Ollie, has stepped in and provided some.
Well, these will be good then.
We're less money-focused, these ones. Okay. But they're a little bit more...
Are these from Ollie, are they?
Yep.
Oh, thought-provoking.
The madman from Manchester.
Yes. Now, before you die, right, just put on your own deathbed, a ghost appears to you and says, you have a choice to become a ghost and you get to wander the earth forever. So just be a sweet ghost and do stuff. Or die and see what's on the other side. What do you do?
I'd be a ghost.
I'd be a ghost.
Yeah, imagine tormenting people.
I don't think there's anything on the other side, so the ghost's the only option.
Yeah, I'd be a ghost too. Yeah. All right, now if you would, how much money would it take? I know we said we weren't doing money, but we're doing one. For you to be, so normally you're a 1 in billion chance of getting struck by lightning, right? Every time there's lightning, but you're a 1 in 5,000 chance of getting struck by lightning. How
and
much
you can
money
name
would
that your take? Price.
Yep. Any price, what would it take to be a 1 in 5,000 chance of getting struck by lightning?
I'd take those odds, yeah. Yeah. Like 1 in 5,000.
Yeah, and you're a 1 in billion chance now, right?
You probably should have had a price on that.
I would, I'd need 7 figures.
So if I offered you $1 million,
I'd take it because I still, 1 in 5,000,
well,
I'll
can
take
I tell
that.
You a little stat? Right. You'd be dead before breakfast. There's 80 billion or 80 million.
Yeah,
lightning strikes a day.
How many people actually get hit and die though? Out of those 80 million,
I
don't
know.
None,
I reckon. By breakfast, would you?
I don't think
you haven't thought that one through, have you?
That was Ollie. At what point does bread become toast?
I reckon after about setting 2 on the toaster. I reckon setting 1's a bit light. I reckon getting to toast. I reckon perfect's 3.
3? Mm. No, I like mine more. I reckon 6. Setting 6.
I reckon it's as soon as you can tap it and it makes a noise, it is then toast.
Yeah.
All right. Would you rather be...
Ollie come up with
what would you put on... What's your favourite topping on the toast? What if you can only have 1 topping for the rest of your life.
Oh, it's got to be
with butter.
Yeah, butter. And then what do you put on top?
I'd go peanut butter. No butter underneath.
Smoothing butter on with Vegemite. It's almost my favourite.
I don't like butter
on
it. How's this? I will not eat anything that's got butter underneath it, but I will have butter by itself on toast.
You don't have butter with Vegemite?
No.
But gee, you're strange. You are really strange, isn't he?
Mm.
How can you have Vegemite without butter on it?
I'm not a coward. I don't need butter.
Toast and Vegemite are my top 5 foods of all time.
Really? Do you have it every morning?
Yep.
What type of bread?
Hey?
What type of bread?
It varies.
All right, would you rather be covered in fur or covered in scales, but your partner is covered in the opposite?
No, I like fur. I want to be fur. I want to be nice to cuddle.
Yeah, but then the person you're cuddling scales.
Yeah, but the fur, I wouldn't feel the scales. The fur just sort of takes away that feeling.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Be like going out with Nick Blakey.
You're not feeling the scales. So as long as you're nice and cuddly and furry, it doesn't matter what your partner is.
Yeah, yeah, I've been saying I'd take the scales because they'd be furry and it'd be, you know, I'm with you. Yeah. All right, last one. Would you rather have unlimited international first class tickets to anywhere in the world or never have to pay for another meal at a restaurant?
No, the first class tickets.
First class tickets.
Unlimited.
Yeah, but economically speaking, in terms of saving money, if you do restaurants, you never have to pay for food again.
No, I'd rather see every place in the world than eat
something. Like cooking. You've changed me on two.
I'm happy to just go to the street vendor and get a $2 taco and be in Mexico somewhere.
Yeah, I'm probably taking that as well. Hey, all right, boys, that will do us today. Now, I know that the merchandise has been slow. I promise you, I'm doing everything in my power. I've got some...
The Sharon
will go out. Who was the man that texted us?
His name was Bailey Holmes.
Bailey Holmes. He can have a Sharon. I'm getting the merchandise out.
So you're going to send Bailey the Sharon?
I'm going to send him that Sharon.
There
as long
go,
as I'm
Bailey.
Allowed to.
Good Sharon.
As long as I'm... I don't know if I'm allowed to.
Yes, you are.
Hey, so if you do want some merchandise, it's a very easy way to do it. Just get on the reviews and leave us a review. Give us a follow on Instagram. Good luck. Footy Festival just around the corner. Gamble responsibly.